Welcome to Greenwich Pantry. This is the Greenwich Pantry podcast, Life is for Cooking. Today I'm going to be chatting to our friend Teresa, who is a co-foodie, and we're going to be talking about food and love. Hello, Teresa.
Hello, hello, Greenwich Pantry. It's nice to be here again as a guest on your lovely podcast.
So a lot has happened since we last spoke, and we've had Christmas. Well, actually, I think since we spoke, we had summer, then we had autumn, and then we had the lovely celebrations. Well, not so lovely this last year, but we had celebrations in the winter, and the first celebration was the celebration of Christmas, and now we've got another celebration.
Yeah.
And now we're celebrating love.
Finally, some time to celebrate love.
Yeah. And what a day to celebrate it, because, well, actually, what a time, because it's so cold. All you really want to do is snuggle up to something, right?
Exactly. That's exactly how I'm feeling. I had to go do a little bit of shopping this morning, and it's so snowy here, and it's just so, like, it's lovely to be outside, but it's also so nice to just come back, have like a nice cozy cup of tea or something really nice, like hot chocolate or something, and then just chill. Oh.
I know. And you know, sometimes we say we want to snuggle up in bed, but really we want to snuggle up to some kind of a cake.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's food.
Absolutely. That could not be more true for me today, because I'm going to try to bake this new cake. It's like a combination of like Basque cheesecake filling, and at the bottom I'll make my own like kind of a crumble with pecan nuts and buckwheat flour, and then I want to spoon some really really nice like plum mousse, like basically like prunes that are cooked down with some lovely winter spices. And I was thinking also, because in the Czech Republic where I'm from, we use a lot of poppy seed, which we grind. So I thought maybe I'm gonna do also a little bit of like a homesick addition to it, and I'll put some poppy seed in the mix as well. So
wow,
yes, that's a very big winter cake day for me today.
Wow. And it's not even Valentine's Day, so you're loving yourself today.
Yeah. Right? When it comes to dessert, I show love to myself quite often. I'm very good at that.
there's a lot to think about and talk about. First thing that intrigues me is that it's that Valentine's Day is so heavily associated with food. And I've never really quite worked it out, except for the fact that, well, I mean, I love food anyway, Valentine or not. And I just think that when we associate food and love, there's something quite magical that comes up that goes beyond just, you know, being a celebration of two people who are, you know, completely attracted to each other. And it goes beyond that kind of bond between, you know, two people, but it goes extends to people all over the world. And and we've seen some of this in the way that over the last year with lockdown, everyone's been really supportive of each other, and everybody's been always looking for ways to support each other, and actually food gifts have gone up quite a lot in terms of how people share love. What are your thoughts about Valentine's?
Yeah, well, I must say I completely agree with everything you just said. I've been just like nodding here. Yes, definitely. And well, to be honest, Valentine, like you said, definitely like a time to celebrate love, but love as in like just what it means, like in general. It doesn't I mean, it's absolutely beautiful to celebrate couples love as well, of course, or any type of like romantic love, but I think it goes so much further than that, like you've said. And you can do so many nice things for people you love, also as friends and of course family and basically anyone really. So I like to see Valentine's Day more like that. Like, yes, we can have a beautiful couple's dinner or whatever we like to do, a beautiful walk, but also I like to think about all the people that I love also outside of my relationship, and that's just such a nice way to do it, and it's such a nice way to celebrate love with food, like you said. I completely agree, because like when I was thinking about it, I thought like it is some sort of like making food for someone gives you some sort of like a creative outlet.
Yeah,
so I think that's maybe why I got like really attracted to food in the first place, because I have to say I'm not like a very, I'm horrible at drawing, I'm not a very good singer, you know, like for me I think food is also a way to show people that I love them, and like, you know, like I've made this for you, like almost, you know, like something you can manually do and create. Yeah. Have a great time and literally like put your love and time and energy into it, and then give it to the other person, and that can be exactly like food gifts. I remember making lots of granola for my family a few like Christmases ago, and it just was so lovely to see the people enjoy it, like on the next day when we were all still together, like as a family, and it adds so much more dimension, I think, to the gift, like when you make it yourself and when it's something that the people can actually like enjoy, you know, as well, like as like also like physically eating as well as just, you know, like the whole message of it. So yeah, I think definitely food and love go very, very well together.
Yeah. And the other thing I was reading about this week, I mean, the whole concept of, you know, the symbol of Valentine is the heart. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be the stomach.
Yeah, oh my God, I absolutely agree. And you know what, like we have a Czech saying that says love goes through the stomach. Like,
yeah.
It is so, you know, this is like a fact that it's just, they're so well connected. And yeah. It's, you know, like, it's just something, I think as a bonding activity, we were just having dinner with our housemate the other day, and we were saying, you know, what a beautiful moment to have a meal together when like no one's on their phones, you know, we're actually like focusing on each other, talking about the food, talking about like what's happening in our lives, and it's, I think, such a special moment that I really cannot imagine replacing it by anything else, to be honest. Such a special thing. Yeah.
and I think the fact that you remembered, I think the fact that you remembered the moment, and the fact that you were joying through the moment is quite significant. Yeah. Because again, one of the things that I'm always kind of pressed to talk about is how we rush through our food, how we kind of eat without thinking about what we're eating. And I know that in some respects it's not always practical to think about what we are eating, but when we do, it does make a difference. Mm-hmm. So for example, I mean, I love testing out new snacks and really healthy kind of options for kind of mini eating, I call it. And every time I do that, I always think, what is different about this snack that's not somebody just adding salt to it? I always think about that, and it does make a difference. And I think when we're able to connect those moments with who we are, it actually makes us, I feel like it makes us a more grateful person or a more grateful people, because it means that we are appreciating everything that's gone into the food. And you mentioned about the energy that you put into making the granola and the fact that people were enjoying it afterwards. Mm-hmm. I think those things are kind of not quantifiable. And therefore it's kind of, it has a certain kind of intrigue to it when you give it as a gift, because somebody's thinking, wow, you actually went all the way to you know, to make something for me. You went to buy it, you prepared it, you you put it all together. You probably put it in a gift box.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
That's so exactly.
All of that stuff. It's you can't quantify the all the things that go into it. And by the way, whilst you are making it, you're not thinking, "Oh, I'm going to sell this for £5."
Yeah. I see the money rolling in. No, exactly. It's literally to make someone happy, and you know, I think. Honestly, there is nothing better than that. And the beauty also is that you don't have to make super complicated things. Exactly, like you can make granola and it's so simple and, you know, it's just, but it goes such a long way. You know? You can also think like specifically, you know, okay, this is for my friend, I don't know, Zoe, and I know she likes coconut, so you know, let's put some coconut in, so you can, you know, make it like personalized as well.
I know it's amazing.
Yeah. I've always been intrigued about how much food carries, you know, how much there is about food, that it's not just like okay, we all have to eat and it's like a basic human need. Yeah. But at the same time, because it's a basic human need, there is so much more surrounding it, like I said, the bonding or cultural differences that you can see through food, you know, like we all know that's so significant, and you can, you know, offend someone even by, you know, serving them something that they just completely don't get because they are from a different culture and stuff like that. So, you know, that's, yeah, food's like loaded with everything, basically. There's like life.
You're so right. You know, I have a friend who I've known, well, I mean, literally I've known her since I was 12, and she lives in Hong Kong. And we have, for a long time, we kind of lost touch after school. We were at the same school and we lost touch, and then we reunited again, and she remembered that I loved this particular kind of noodles.
That's <so cute. laughs>
She remembered it because we were at a school where we were boarders, so we came in, so every time she came in, she always brought these noodles, and she would share them with me, and every time that she shared them with it, I was like, oh, I love these noodles, they're so cool. And you can eat these noodles without even you know, without actually cooking. And you could snack on them. And when we reunited, she said to me, "Do you still like the noodles?"
That's so
And amazing. You know what? She sent me a whole box of noodles from Hong Kong, and I will never ever forget that. That was our act of reunion together. And I mean, I love my friend Sylvia so much. She's so cool, and she's very generous. But I guess the point that you're making is that, you know, there is that connection that goes beyond, beyond. And you can actually not only create lifelong moments, you know, but it's a moment to reconnect. And the other thing I've noticed, I don't know if you have recently, is that a lot of these celebrity shows, they're all, you know, they're doing cooking shows and all kinds of shows now, which is really great. But they also always ask people, you know, what is your earliest food moment, which they never used to do before.
That's true. I have not noticed, to be honest, but that's such an interesting thing. See, and that exactly underlines what we've just been discussing, that, you know, it's just there is so much to talk about when it comes to food. Yeah. And you can also know a person, you can learn so much about a person from the way they eat, you know, like from the type of things they seek. And, you know, that's just so, this is fascinating, I'd say. I actually wrote my thesis when I was finishing my master. My thesis was in food porn. So I was exploring the link between food and sex, and like food porn and real porn, which is like quite sounds crazy maybe when you hear it for the first time. But there was so much material that there came a point, because at the beginning this was based on like an essay that I read, and I thought, okay, why not, you know, take it a bit further and see if I can, you know, make this into like a proper thesis. And I was worried a little bit that maybe there wasn't going to be enough written about it. But you know what? There was so much that came up.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah. Really, honestly, I kept doing, like, when I started my research, it just kept like branching out, you know, and there were like new ideas, more texts, more books. And really, there came a point where I had to just say, okay, stop. Otherwise, I'm never going to actually get to the stage of like writing it. So really, like, and that made me realize how much there is, you know, written about the link, and how much like from the like sociocultural and like anthropological perspective that you can look at food as well. Yeah.
Well, on that note, I have to say that there is I don't often watch this program, but it was my son that has kind of, oh, I don't know, dragged us into watching it, shall I say. And he watches a program that, you know, what I think it's called the 90-Day Fiancé.
Uh-huh. I've never heard of that.
Anyways, So this is a concept that you meet someone. I don't know how they meet them all the time, but sometimes I think it's online, and you get to know them within 90 days. Uh-huh. You propose, you get engaged to them, and then you propose, okay, to them, and they get married. Anyway, in that process, they go and live in each other's world, sort of thing. And there is this I can't remember if she's Russian or she's Polish. Mm-hmm. But she goes from her environment into an American environment, and she's used to eating very, very healthy food, and he's used to not eating very healthy food, and she finds it really, really difficult to assimilate. And I think, you know, you mentioned something earlier about the person you're going to connect with. I think it was something like that you said, and I think, you know, you get to know people by what they eat, but you also get to know what you don't want by what other people eat. Because imagine the idea that you're going to be living in the house or living with this person for what you hope to be the rest of your life. They're constantly having butter and sugar and everything like that in their food, and all you want to eat is, you know, I don't know, lettuce and carrots. And opposite. How does your life then how does it get better?
Exactly. No, like that could be very tough. I think actually I know there are people, like I know people who don't care so much about what they eat, you know. It's just like, oh yeah, oh, I've heard this so many times, like, oh yeah, food is fuel, you know, I gotta get through it, but I don't really care, you know, it's just not my thing, which like I completely respect, absolutely. But I'm just so like so different, like in that way. I really do care about what I eat, and I have noticed that like if I was to eat like food that I don't like, or that doesn't make me happy, or that comes from like, I don't know, like a weird source, then, you know, it would make me actually quite miserable. It's really something that would be a game changer in my life. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, it's not like posh food, but it just, you know, nice ingredients, you know, done in a way that I like it, you know. It definitely can make a huge difference to your life, I think, when you're the person who cares about it. When it's like, you know, not such a big deal, then it's fine, of course. But
yeah, exactly. So with all of that in mind, what are you going to be cooking? Are you gonna split it across the whole month, or are you just gonna focus on one day?
So definitely not going to focus on the one day.
I didn't think so.
Because you know there's so much I want to try, and so many things I want to be cooking, and it just can't be condensed into one day. And also, I feel like it would put like too much pressure on it. So we were actually saying with Dal, my boyfriend, yesterday, that we're going to have like a few days where we're just going to cook something nice and go for some nice walks, and so it's going to be spread out. And I was thinking, maybe we could make a beef bourguignon, which I would really like. Maybe like also, so today I'm going to try the cheesecake. So if that goes well, maybe we can do that as well. I don't know. Yeah, it's. I haven't really like made a plan, but I always keep like a list of things that I want to try.
Oh, yeah.
Panna cotta, we were saying as well. So that's for me quite a like a love dessert.
You love that, don't
you? Yeah. I love that. And also a lasagna, I think, could be really nice. Maybe some nice pasta. Oh yeah. That was, oh, actually, now you're going to have to stop me because I can. Now I can go on
when
forever.
You're making your pasta, make a little heart
shape. Oh, that would be so cute. But to be honest, I think pasta may be one of my like that's like, because it's such a like literally labor of love. I think, you know, that's such a beautiful way, because you can make pasta, you know, with like whoever you're celebrating with or whoever like you're sharing love with. And even like if it's like a group of friends, or, you know, if you want to make it with your husband, boyfriend, I don't know. And it's such a beautiful way to like go through the process together and then enjoy it. That I think that actually could be my my favorite Valentine option.
Oh wow, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. We're so grateful. We love having you on the show. We hope you'll be back, maybe to talk about some of the findings of your thesis.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
definitely we can have a little chat. I will have to, it has now been 2 years, so I would have to do like a little bit of like a brush up on what I wrote, but definitely I would be very, very much up for that.
Thank you so much.
And it was again so nice to be on the show.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. And we hope that you'll take the love that you have for food, mix it all up, and share it with everyone in your life. Share, subscribe, and keep following Greenwich Pantry. Lots of love. Happy Valentine's to all of our listeners. Bye for now.